introducing our two new members of the IDA that, you know, we have Craig Fleischman and Sean Brooks. So I want to personally and on behalf of the IDA welcome you both.
Thank you. Look forward to working with you.
And just so you know, obviously there's a learning curve in the beginning, so no question is unimportant that you may have. So please, at any time, if you don't understand either something we're doing by way of process or content or a project, whatever that is, please speak up. You know, we're happy to take the time to help you understand what we're working on, okay? So don't ever hesitate. Okay, good. So the first order of business is to approve the meeting minutes of March 8th. Has everybody, and March 10th, because we had a reconvened meeting. Has everybody had a chance to look at that?
So moved.
Okay, Paul made a motion. Who was the second? Scott second. Yeah, it helps, by the way, when you say it to also either say your name or raise your hand so we can, Jen, and so who's doing the actual minutes? Julio?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Scott, that was very good.
Thank you.
Although it looks like you're dancing. Okay, so the next order of business is to approve the bills and communications. And just for the benefit of the new board members, each month we are presented with the funds that were distributed by the IDA, and we approve them subsequently in these meetings. So, Jen, is there anything we need to talk about that are on here, any changes or...
There are no changes from the amended version, which says V2 at the bottom, and you received that over the weekend. But I do want to make one comment on the first line, the payment to Ametra Development. It's a large payment, as you'll see, and that's just a return of sales tax fees that the company paid to the IDA, and then later they revised their sales tax reports because they discovered that they had been paying fees on items that would have been exempt under other exemptions, not the IDA exemption. So it's just a return of their money to them. And I just wanted to point that out for clarity.
Okay.
Susie.
Yeah, Walter.
Before Howard goes, with the exception of a list of pre-approved expenses for the new members, the schedule of payments is done in advance of payment only after the items have been paid, based upon a pre-approved list of things like the electric bill, the phone bill, the rent.
Good clarification, thank you. Yes, otherwise it would be kind of pointless to ask you to retrospectively approve everything. So yes, good point. Okay, does anyone have any questions about the schedule of payments? And if not, can I have a motion to approve the payments? Howard, I think you were starting to do so.
Sure, I'll make a motion.
Okay, we need to second. Paul second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. So now, Jen, so what you'll see in your packet is the staff prepare an activity report for the activities of the month. Jen, is there anything you'd like to discuss that's in the activity report?
I wanted to just mention three things that are not in the activity report. Two are just reminders with respect to communications. First, just a reminder that your financial disclosure reports are due to the county by May 15th. If you wish to request an extension for any reason, just contact Anne-Marie at the county directly for that. The second is another reminder that there are several opportunities for this New York State Authorities Budget Office training coming up in April. So if you would like to sign up for any of the trainings, the board member trainings, just let me know and I'll facilitate that. And then third is just an update to the activity report, which is that the personnel committee gave me authorization to hire a new part-time temporary person, a high school student who we've brought on to undertake a fairly massive scanning job. So I just wanted to let you know that she's been working in the afternoons to help us get rid of many, many, many boxes of files that we've just been accumulating over the years. Separately, we'll work on a records retention policy so that we can actually dispose of some records. But in the meantime, we have a lot of documents that we need to keep, but we would much rather keep them electronically because we're full to the gills here at the office. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Jen, on your you mentioned the trainings. So aren't there requirements we have to do, or at least our new board members have to participate in some training, right? Do you guys, Craig, Sean, you already know about that?
I have some literature about it, yep.
Okay, perfect. And what about the rest of us? Is there anything we have to do on any continuing basis?
The ABO strongly recommends that existing board members participate in the training every 3 years. So I was just looking at my list of who's completed the training and when, and I'll reach out to each of you over the next couple of days so that you can know if you are recommended to have the refresher training. Okay. But I'll reach out to you separately on that.
Perfect.
Susie.
Yeah, Howard.
Jen, you know, I know that on our website, I'm sure it has minutes from our, you know, each of the meetings, but I'd like you to put two packages together, the last 6 months of meeting minutes, and get them to Sean and to Craig.
That's a great idea. Get brought up to speed.
Get them up to speed in a particular way, and at least, get, you know, before they have to sit on these trainings, they'll kind of just at least feel like they know more than we do.
And I just want to throw one more thing in just for purposes of full transparency. And I think what for the new members, you'll come to see that we may go overboard in this board on disclosures, but we'd rather have everything out there. So I want to disclose that the young lady in high school who is scanning happens to be the daughter of a cousin of mine who lives in Monticello. So full disclosure there. Okay. So
you're related to everybody anyhow, Susie.
I'd like to do some disclosure myself then. So I probably do business with all of you and everybody else in the county.
Thank you, Sean. We should probably all just make these blanket disclosures to start with, and then we don't have to keep doing them every single time. But yeah, there is a theme.
If that's an issue, then I would have to recuse myself in the sense that if Sean doesn't pick me up when I'm stuck in the middle of the night, I'm not sitting on this board.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
And you know what? For that matter, Craig, I think I got some bagels this weekend, so I want to disclose that I purchased bagels from the bagel
here we go
on Sunday. So, okay, I think we're all good now. Any other points before we move on to new business? Okay, so the first item we have for discussion and approval are the officers and committee members. And Jen, you want to walk us through what you sent out there?
Sure. So first I'll say that we try always to keep the officers and committee members of the IDA, the Funding Corp, and the Infrastructure LDC the same. So you'll see the same lists in each of your agenda packets. So the changes that are proposed are for Ms. Laughlin, to move into the chair position. She was vice chair for a number of years, and with Mr. Steingart's departure, the recommendation is for Susie to become the chair. Ed Sykes, who previously was secretary, is proposed for vice chair. Carol Roy was previously assistant secretary, so we have her proposed for secretary. No changes to the treasurer and assistant treasurer position. So Mr. Siegel as treasurer and Mr. Smith as assistant treasurer. And then with Ms. Roig leaving the assistant secretary position, we propose Mr. Fleischman for that position. The committees are largely the same. The only change to the committees are the personnel committee. Mr. Steingart used to sit on that committee. So it's proposed that Mr. Gunther fill that vacancy. There are no changes to the other IDA committees. Our bank signers, just for everyone's information, are four positions. They're not individuals. So our bank signers are always our CEO, our chairperson, treasurer, and secretary. So those, as new people move into those positions, we'll get new signer cards to the banks. But the signers are go with those positions. That's it on the changes to the proposed changes to the officers and committees.
And for governance reasons, if somebody would move that, then you would take a vote on it. The bylaws are quite unusual in that they do not give the chair the power to those appointments. The bylaws provide, for some reason, that the board makes the appointments.
So we need a motion to approve the slate of officers. Paul, thank you. Second. Who was second? Howard. Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. And we will be repeating that same process in the next two meetings, because while Jen indicated the slate was the same, each of those separate meetings will require us to vote accordingly. Okay, so we're ready now to move on to the first resolution, which relates to an extension, authorizing an extension of the sales tax abatement for Ametra Development, Eldred Entertainment, and Eldred Hospitality from May 1st, 2021 through and including October 31st, 2021. And Walter, Jen, do you want to go over that?
It's standard every 6 month extension request. And Julio, can you confirm that they have made all of the requisite filings and payments?
Yes, they're up to date with all of their sales tax fees and reports.
Okay. I do note in their letter that they ask for both an extension and an increase. So let's take the extension separately, Susie, if that's okay, which is the only resolution that you have in front of you.
And this,
yeah, go ahead, Jen.
The board, this is the same request that they sent us back in February. And at that time, they requested an increase, which the board approved in February. You'll remember we didn't have a, the board verbally approved the increase in the limit in February, and then we followed it up with a formal written resolution in March. So that part is done, but we asked them, we held the extension request because we always wait until they're very near the end of their 6 month period before we'll entertain a request for a further extension. So this is the same letter you saw in February. We're just dealing with the extension part of it today.
Okay, so we need a motion to approve the extension of the period.
No.
No?
Okay, extension's already been done.
No, the increase has been done.
Just,
the extension has not.
Okay, sorry.
Problem.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So originally this project was a $20 million project that we thought. Now it's a $35 million project, correct? Just so that everybody knows the magnitude of what they're doing out there.
Yep.
So Walter, was I correct that we're now going to seek a motion to approve the extension of the period through
There's a resolution in the packet that
right. Okay, so we need to approve the resolution. We need a motion to approve the resolution that's in your packet.
Right.
Can I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Carol, thank you. A second?
I'll second it, Paul.
Paul, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. So procedurally now, Walter, we have a discussion item to go into executive session.
Let's handle the industrial park abatement.
That's what I'm thinking.
First.
Let's cover those other two meetings. We can cover all the items in those other two meetings, and then because after that executive session there will be no business conducted and there will be no need to go back. We will come out of exec, but there won't be any business that will have been conducted. So do we want to move on to the next meeting?
Susie, the only meeting that has any relevance to the Commercial Industrial Park UTEP is the IDA meeting. So let's take that before we move on. And Jen distributed that proposed uniform tax abatement program to the impacted taxing jurisdictions and all relevant school districts.
Correct.
We previously received a comment from the town of Rockland that the only property that was in their industrial commercial zone was the old Livingston Manor Airport, which under the new FEMA flood guidelines is in a flood hazard area. So they indicated that they were in the process of updating their zoning and would not have any property in a commercial industrial zone, which led to, before this went out, the location restriction removing the town of Rockland, the Livingston Manor, and the Roscoe school districts. We have subsequently sent it, Jen, you sent it to Liberty, Thompson, Mamikating, Fallsburg, Bethel, Liberty School, Monticello School, and any other school districts? I guess you sent it to all the school districts in Mamikating, right?
Dry Valley, Port Jervis, I think Ellenville. There are, you know, some of the out-of-county districts have parcels that are within in Sullivan County in Mamikating.
And the only negative comment we've received from any town or school district is from the Liberty Central School District, which would prefer at this point that this policy not apply within the Liberty Central School District. I know that the partnership through Mark is setting up meetings with that school district to make sure that they understand the ramifications of being the only one out. But for now, to move this to adoption, I would recommend that we modify it to exclude those parts of the towns of Liberty, Thompson, and Bethel that are in the Liberty Central School District. There's not much commercial zone in Bethel anyway. And if they change their mind, we can amend it to include it.
Walter, maybe just for benefit of especially our new people, can you just take a step back and just give a very brief overview of what this program is?
Sure.
Helpful to them.
The sales tax and mortgage tax abatements for commercial industrial projects are kind of the IDA standard for facilitating private sector investment and new job creation, which would be an abatement of sales tax that goes into projects and an abatement of mortgage tax to finance projects. From a real estate tax standpoint, commercial industrial parks have a unique problem because it's often necessary when they initially mobilize to put in infrastructure, roads, water, sewer, connectivity, electricity, and drainage to an entire industrial park, while the time frame to market and find tenants or buyers of those lots takes a lot of time. So the real estate tax abatement program would be based upon maintaining the real estate tax base as it was prior to the installation of infrastructure and providing 100% abatement for a period not to exceed 10 years on the infrastructure. And then as lots are either sold or leased within the industrial park, like we did at the Concord and like we did with Yo One, to amend the pilot to remove the property that would be subject to further development and either exclude it and it would become taxable, or more likely there'd be an application by someone to the IDA to develop a building on one of the industrial park lots.
By its action, is Liberty saying they don't want any, because there's obviously they're not competitive with other parcels, correct?
I didn't talk to Liberty, so I'm not going to guess. Maybe Mark Baez at the partnership has been taking the lead on those conversations, so we could have him give you a call. Paul, I don't know why. It seems that if somebody is coming to Sullivan County and they want to develop an industrial or distribution facility along old Route 17,
right,
you have a choice of doing it in the Monticello School District and getting an abatement, or in the Liberty School District and not getting an abatement. It seems pretty clear to me, given the magnitude of the value of the abatements, what they would do. But if Liberty School doesn't want to participate, then so be it.
Well, that's my attitude, too. I don't need a phone call, but you outlined what I intuitively guessed. And so be it is right. It's not the only land available for industrial parks in the county.
That's for sure.
Does anyone have any questions for Walter on that explanation? Was that helpful, hopefully?
If there are no questions, Susie, then I know that for other reasons, we plan on recessing this meeting till sometime next week.
Right.
with the board's permission, I would go ahead and prepare a resolution to adopt the commercial industrial park abatement program, with the only change being in the location restriction, indicating that it would be those parts of the towns of Liberty, Thompson, Fallsburg, and Bethel that are outside of the Liberty School District. It means nothing whatsoever to Fallsburg or Bethel, because there's no commercial industrial zones in those towns that are in Liberty School District. It's only relevant with respect to the old 17 corridor.
We don't need a motion on that. We just need you to do that. Is that what you're saying?
I just need somebody to ask.
Yes, please do that.
Okay. Okay, very good.
I would have.
Okay, so then there's no, this was just a discussion, we don't need any action right now, because we will, at the next time we get together, be given a resolution to review and then vote on, correct?
Correct.
Excellent. Okay. So for procedural purposes, since we need an executive session for the IDA meeting, Walter, are we going to do that now and then have everyone dial back in, or are
I would recess the IDA meeting until the conclusion of the infrastructure board meeting and the Sullivan County Funding Court meeting.
Perfect.
And then come back to IDA so we don't inconvenience the public like Ira to have to worry about.
Hey, what about Ken? What about Ken?
Well, Ken and Ira. There
Ken,
you
should be objecting. Okay. I need a motion then to recess this meeting.
So we need a motion to recess and then go into executive session, or come back?
We'll come back to executive session
after we reconvene.
We're going to recess the IDA meeting and go into the next one. Are we going to do Sullivan County?
Scott made the motion.
Thank you, Scott.
I'll second it.
Okay, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.